All right, hello and welcome to Ask the Mayor on WFIU. I'm Joe Wren, and this week we're in Bloomington in person with Mayor John Hamilton. Hello, welcome. Thanks for having us today.
Nice to see you in space, Joe. Be together. Good to see you again.
We welcome your comments. Submit them to news@indianapublicmedia.org. You can tweet us at Ask the Mayor. Just wanted to start with COVID numbers. Feel like those have been kind of been bumping up again, hearing a lot of people who somehow avoided COVID the first kind of couple years, and now they're getting COVID. Are you getting any still debriefings from the health officials, hospital? Do you have anything that you can tell us?
Well, we are restarting some regular meetings. We actually have not been doing the weekly meetings, but Penny Cottle retired, by the way. Shout out to Health Department Director Penny Cottle, has just retired after extraordinary service for decades, including the past 2 years. So thanks to her. We are talking. We do see more. We're seeing it more in our city. We continue to, of course, mostly worry about hospitals and deaths, and we will continue to monitor that. But you're right, Joe. People are getting sick. It's happening. The new strain is more infectious, and it's also a little more evasive of the vaccinations and such. So we just have to keep being careful. We're going to be living with this, and as the season kicks in, we'll continue to watch it.
Yeah, some of the numbers on the COVID panel: 1,700 new cases in the state last week. Have been going up, but only 8,500 tested, and that's what's interesting. You can't almost go by a lot of these data points anymore because you're not getting a really good with only 8,500 people tested. You know,
everybody's doing home tests, right? And they're just not in the system, so those data points are different. We really want to watch hospitalizations and deaths, from my perspective. But we'll be talking. The hospital system, the health department, and others are continuing to monitor, and we will be continuing to talk. I don't know if we'll have any changes in protocols or approaches, but it's here, and people are catching it. So just try to be careful and don't mingle germs if you don't have to.
Mm-hmm.
We're 6 feet apart right now, I'd say.
Yeah. The booster. Can anyone get, do you know the booster, or is that still 50 and over, or?
The original booster, I think, is available for everybody.
Right.
A lot of people have not taken it, though. That's true even in our workforce. We found a much lower take rate for the booster than we did for the original vaccine. So I've had the booster. I think the question now is the next booster. I've had two. And I think we expect this fall to have a new round of shots, vaccination/booster. So we encourage everybody to monitor that. If you're over 50 and you haven't had a recent booster, the recommendations I hear are you should get it right away.
Now the news is monkeypox. And last I saw that there are only 16 in the state. Vaccines are told to be limited. Federal officials have ordered millions to ship in to the U.S. How concerned or what are you hearing about monkeypox?
You know, we continue to monitor and hear. I'm not worried about it at this point. We see a lot more impact from the COVID. But of course, that disease or others that can arise, can appear, we always want to be on watch for. And thank goodness for the CDC and the federal government and the way they continue to watch this for us.
And as you always say to you and all the mayors say, talk to your family doctor or talk to your personal physician for stuff like this.
Too. Absolutely. Yeah. I'm not a doctor.
Yeah. No,
listen to me.
I'm not either.
Talk to your doctor for
we
that
talk to a lot of
advice.
Them and we work with them.
Yeah.
And that's why I asked this, because sometimes you might hear things that, you know, we don't. So.
Yeah.
So some big news last week, the city's looking to bring the fire and police administration to Showers Plaza at City Hall, where we are right now. CFC properties have a portion of this building. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of people don't maybe understand what's all over here. They come to the Taste of Bloomington or the Farmers Market and don't know Monroe County government has offices here. Of course, the city has offices here. Explain how this came about.
Right. So, yes, a lot of people don't know. It's really three separate buildings, almost condos, in this one building that was set that way when it began 25 plus years ago. So, you know, the floods last month really damaged our police headquarters and our fire downtown station, have us looking for options. We've been long interested in Showers Building as a place for a continued City Hall presence over the decades to come. Our city grows, our government grows, but in particular the police headquarters, which is their full 100 plus complement of folks needs a better place to be. That's an old building they're in. It's been damaged by flood. They are growing. We started looking at a place for police headquarters. When we discussed with CFC, that was a great option to think about bringing them right into City Hall. So we have some due diligence to do. We have an accepted offer to buy the building at about $9 million. And that's a good price for the square footage that we can get. But we have to make sure it can work as a police station. In addition, we can bring the fire administration. Now, it's not a fire station. It's not the engines and all running out of here. But it's all the administrators for fire could join as well. And that would really be helpful to have all of that public safety in one space.
So when you say that, does that mean that the current downtown fire headquarters would just be turned into a regular station?
We will have a downtown station, whether it's right there on 4th Street or somewhere else. We're also looking at that because that station was heavily damaged. It's in a low area. It would be difficult. They had trouble getting the trucks in and out with that kind of flooding. Now, we hope the flooding will get better. We're working on that. But we will have a downtown station with the engine and the ladder and the truck, but that's separate from the fire headquarters administration services.
And working with the police department, too, you think about all those vehicles that they have parked there behind. And when you look at the Google Maps, you can take a look at the back of, I guess, City Hall. Mm-hmm. That would be west, kind of northwest of the mm-hmm. farmer's market for those who are trying to picture where this is.
Right.
There's not really much parking there.
Well, there's parking for the commercial space, but of course we have a garage too next to the Trades District that's there. So that would be one of the things we'll look at though in the due diligence process, just to make sure this can work. When police stations are not just your everyday office buildings either. They have to have substantial security and spaces that are protected for some of their services and materiel. So we will be spending the next couple months with some professionals looking at whether this can work, but I hope it can. I think it would be a really good step forward for the city to have all of us together this way.
Yeah, and then of course the police department would be up for determined.
Yes, that property we would then work with city council to think about what should be done with that, dispose of it to others, use it for housing, other kinds of ideas.
Last question on this is that it kind of creates this neat opportunity with City Hall already here to do some. I mean, they're divided now, mm-hmm. but could something down the road be looked at into kind of forming City Hall into the fire department so it's more of one big building?
Absolutely. We would look at connecting the two halves, if you will, or the two thirds of the building. We've actually talked about that with county too, because sometimes having a doorway in between would be helpful, but almost certainly it would involve opening up the two parts of the building to connect them. It could be connected by city chambers, council chambers, could be connected on both floors, different ways. We'll look at that.
I know some people were a little bit, of course, they just moved into CFC and now they realize they may have to move. Will the city help them relocate?
Absolutely. Well, a couple things. One, any leases are leases and they have the right to be there. But second, we won't need all that space. Even if we do move everything from the police and the fire in there, there will be a commercial space still available. So we'll be working with all the tenants over the months and years, if this goes forward, to figure out how to take care of their interests as well.
Just thinking about retail spaces and leases, 4th Street Garage, mm-hmm. I believe it's the retail space there is still empty. Any word on interest in there? What's going on there?
You know, we're still marketing it, Joe. You're right. Really, since the pandemic, a lot of office and retail space is different. I was talking to somebody in Chicago who said they had, I think they said 17 million square feet of empty office space in downtown Chicago. So we're a small city. We don't have that same numbers, but we have impact, and we're part of that. And you know, we're going to continue to work to try to find ways that people can use that space well. But the pandemic shifted that quite a bit for a lot of us.
What about 4th Street Garage? It's been open now for a while. Is it being used? Are public using it at night and weekends like it used to be, you know, back in the good old days?
Yeah, you know, I haven't seen the exact numbers on it, Joe. It's, of course, it's open. Yes, it's used. We have, I think I've seen about half of the spaces are leased in the long term by workers, particularly in the Fountain Square Mall and such. It's of course used for different kinds of events, but I haven't seen the numbers. I will say I do think, you know, the pandemic and the working patterns, they're still lots of people who are working from home part-time, some of the time, maybe all of the time, that's changing that. We're continuing to look at the parking needs downtown. I will say, from the long haul, having parking structures available that can replace surface parking is a good thing. It lets us reuse surface space for better uses, for housing or businesses, restaurants, et cetera. So I'm really glad that we have that basic infrastructure, and it lets us continue to evaluate how much surface space we need, both us publicly and the private sector.
Well, of course, there are plans to expand the convention center, mm-hmm. which is literally across the street.
Yep.
And I assume part of that, too, is looking to what happens in that area.
It would absolutely be very important to a hotel or a convention center itself in the future years. So, again, it's a really good piece of infrastructure to have that will serve in different ways, probably year by year. But we're glad to have it. It's safe. It's available. Anybody wants to use it.
I just talked to Eric Spoonmore last week. For those, he's the president of the Bloomington Chamber.
Yep.
And he says 2022 is the year of the convention center expansion. He is ready to go. And I know you are too. Again, I know I asked you last month, but any update on what's happening there?
Well, I am encouraged, as is Eric Spoonmore. I think there is a path forward that we hope. I think in the next week or two, we're probably going to see some public engagement on that. There are discussions going on now behind the scenes. As you indicated, you know, we and I and the city have long wanted to see the convention center expanded. We think it's a real opportunity and important for the future downtown vitality. I am hopeful that this year, indeed, we will be able to see major strides made. We're just still discussions going on in the background, but I think that will come to the public a little more directly in the next couple weeks.
Just interesting to see how all this unfolds in different cities. You know, we've talked about Terre Haute mm-hmm. Convention Center, and just talked to Mayor Jim Lineup last week, and in Columbus, and they hired a consultant to see if they should have a conference center. They don't have anything, mm-hmm. and the consultant came back and said, "Yes, you should build one, and it should be bigger than what you projected." So, mm-hmm. I thought that was interesting to hear that in a neighboring city. Of course, tourism is big there with the architecture. And knowing what Bloomington is going through, too.
Well, I hadn't heard that, Joe, but it is interesting. I do think while the pandemic taught us a lot of things, we can work differently, we can accomplish a lot, it also did teach us how much we appreciate being together in person. And I do think meetings, and maybe particularly meetings where you are able to drive to, or it's not, you don't have to fly. So we may find a lot of regional interest. We think that's what we've seen so far. In meetings. Plus, one of the other things that's very popular are athletic events, sports events, including volleyball tournaments or wrestling or indoor use of space for athletic events too. So all of that's potential for us. All of it means kind of that Monday to Friday too for us as a city. It can help support our downtown. It's also important for the arts, frankly, having performing spaces and having more people here to support our arts.
Don't know if you know anything more about the city council meeting that's going to happen Wednesday night, I believe, about the Creamery apartments. Mm-hmm. I know we're getting kind of down to the wire on that and them maybe pulling out.
So we've made clear to those who want to do that development, and they're a Chicago-based group, that because of the impact they're having on the city and with the purchase of the smokestack and the need to take that down, that we want to see a contribution kind of similar to what the smokestack was, art, something to support the community. They're not ready to commit to that yet. I don't know how that's going to shake out. They're a private investor. From my perspective, if they won't do either affordable housing or some substantial art investment reflecting the fact that they've taken on this iconic thing and going to bring it down, it looks like, then we may have to do a different plan. There'll be another plan down the road if this doesn't work out. It'll be up to the council to vote on that because they are asking for a public alley vacation. And in my view, if you're asking for the public to give you some land and right of way, then you should give back something to the public, and we'll see if that can get worked out or not.
Just have a couple minutes left, but I did want to talk to you about legislators are going to convene shortly about crafting an abortion legislation, taxpayer refunds for the state surplus. I know, wide open here, but what's your message to state legislators as they convene?
Well, first on the fiscal side, let's just get out of the way. The $6 billion surplus, that's way too much. They ought to be investing more in public education and returning money to those of us who need it, which is really important. But fundamentally, Joe, this is a very scary time. This is the first time in American history, 200 plus years, that we've had a Supreme Court take away a fundamental right like they did when they overturned Roe v. Wade. I think that was extraordinarily wrong and damaging to our country. And what it did do, it took away that federal right, but it went back to the states to say, well, what are states going to do? The outlook is grim, that our state seems poised to take away what most Indiana residents want, most Hoosiers want to keep government out of our bedrooms and out of our private lives, out of our personal decisions. But it looks very much like the legislature may double down and make a bunch of really dangerous decisions from my perspective. Look, Bloomington is a home to Indiana University and tens of thousands of young women, some of whom will have unintended pregnancies. And the idea that they would be forced by the state legislature, by the government, to bear a child that they do not want is abysmal from my perspective. I'm going to be going up there to make our voices heard, a bunch of us from Bloomington. If people want to join, there's a bus and others going up on Monday the 25th. I hope our legislators listen to reason and listen to the Hoosier common sense that says, let these personal decisions be personal. I'm not very hopeful about that, but more of us need to let our voice be heard.
We have 1 minute left. I always like to leave the last minute to you. Do you have any announcements or anything else you'd like to say?
Joe, I think we've covered it. You know, we're excited about the Hopewell site. We now own some of that. The main hospital, you'll see, is being decommissioned and deconstructed, and you're going to start to see some demolition too on the areas east of the hospital as we work to redevelop that. But it's always an exciting time in Bloomington this summer. A lot of construction. Be careful. Be safe out there. And we'll look forward to chatting again in August when it starts to kick back up into the regular rhythm.
Here we go, huh?
Thanks.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.